my needs, all he is my all in all, and studying about him is my life's greatest joy. It really is, studying about him and his word and the way that he works in and on and through his body is the place where I find my peace, my rest, my comfort, my solace, my protection, my strength from day to day. If I didn't have God's word to study, I don't know. I would be hopeless. I would be blind. I would be lost. I wouldn't have a drive and a desire that would ever be met without studying Christ and his word. And so over the last couple weeks, we've been studying God's word. And we talked about the effectiveness and the benefits. And we've looked into the study of God's word through his word. If you're going to study about God, you need to study through his word. I don't need to study about God through a commentary about what somebody else thinks about what studying God's word is. He gave us the perfect pathway. Amen. And it is the living word of God. And I would dare say it is the King James Bible that we need to study through. There are other lesser translations, but they are lesser. And as time goes on, they get lesser and lesser, more watered down and more watered down. And at this time, with I can't even tell you how many nearly inspired versions, NIV, are out there. You know, but if you come back to the Word of God, come back to the King James Version of the Bible, you can find a depth that is not held within any other book in the world. And had Lance over at the house for supper last night, and we got talking about the differences between the 1611 and the Authorized King James Version. And I have good news for you. There's only 421 changes that were made. And those changes were simple, adding a period or a comma where a period was. Changing some of the lettering, you know, because the Gothic way of writing and the Elizabeth English way of writing are different. So we know what an S looks like, and the Gothic way of writing it looks like a lowercase F with a tail. All right? So there's small things like that. They spelt words the way I spell words back in 1611, okay? And so I like to add an extra E there or something like they did too. But that's the only differences, and there's only 421 of those. That's not in the sermon. That was just a little extra thing that I thought is interesting, because people will say, well, your Bible's not the original 1611. Wait a second. Yes, it is. The only things that were changed were some corrections in spelling. And that's all that was changed. And some correctures in the grammatical understanding, because the way that we wrote changed. And I can't do Gothic writing, but I can read the 1611 version of the Bible. Why? Because it's just like the Authorized King James. Go ahead.
The words didn't change.
Amen. The words.
The spelling of the word.
Absolutely. Yeah, the word did not change. The spelling of that word changed. Because the Gothic spelling and the Elizabethan. Yeah. Yeah, she's Elizabeth. Yeah, so anyhow, I don't know. I can't say those words proper, but anyway, that's the only thing that changed.
So a lot of the change was just like change of...
Yes, right. Change of type.
Type text.
Yeah, the type
of the
set.
Machine, of the press
yes.
machine.
Right.
Literally.
Absolutely. And if you think of... Stop blowing in your wife's ear. I know you know. She's elbowing him, and he's blowing in her ear, and she's elbowing him. I'm on your side, Nancy. We'll get him off of you. Anyhow, in that, think of the way that they used to print a Bible.
Yes.
So they had those single letters right. that somebody had to carve out. Somebody sat down with a pocket knife, and they carved all those little bitty lines and stuff out in the Gothic way of writing. And then they put it in, and they carved it
upside down and backwards. Mm-hmm. So when they put it in the printing press and pressed it, it was right side up and squared away.
Yeah.
That takes a special brain. All right? So they changed the way, because of the printing press, they changed the way letters were made and punctuation. And that's the only difference between the original 1611 Bible and the authorized King James Bible you have today. 421 slight corrections in the way words were spelled. So all of you folks who want to, that gives you the answer, because that question will come up. Well, you don't have the original transcripts. La, la, la. Okay. Anyhow, praise God. Let's get back to the Word. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. I had to get that out there so that we can know those things. Amen. Dear Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness, your righteousness, Father. We thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that you promised would come and would lead us into all truth. Father, reminding us of the things that you did through Christ Jesus. And I thank you for that. Father, I do pray that as we speak and as we look into the studying of God's Word today, Lord, that you would move mighty over us and help us to know the fullness of your grace and goodness. We ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. The only way for a Christian to grow in grace is through the study of God's Word. You've got to know who he is in the Scripture, where you can see his faithfulness. Faith cometh by
hearing,
and hearing by the word of God. Amen? So the only way your faith is going to grow is by hearing God's Word out of God's book. Amen? Now, a lot of folks say, well, I only am led by the Spirit of God. Well, how do you test the Spirit? We're told in the Bible to test those spirits to see whether they're of God. There are many spirits out there, all right? And they will lead you away to other, easier understandings of God's Word. Which, if it's not the gospel, it's not a gospel. If it's changed, it's not the same. That's why we must come back to the original text every time. And to understand God, if we're ever going to understand God in any form, it has got to be through his Word. It can't be through a commentary. It can't be through a professor. It can't be through my telling you anything. You have got to dig it up yourselves. Amen? Yeah. Now we do have, I love the way that God has organized this body of believers here. Because here we have a liberty to ask questions. We have a liberty to, well, I didn't understand that. Is that really what it means? And by the grace of God, we have a group of people here that read their Bible. Amen? Right? You're not going to fool a bunch of us here. And the reason you're not going to fool a bunch of us is because we study this book. We apply it in our life in a real and personal way. I'm not trying to puff you up, but I do want to say thank you for obeying the Spirit of God through the study of God's Word. Amen? Because if y'all didn't study, I could preach out of Pinocchio's, and y'all wouldn't know any different, right? But now y'all keep me in the Word. And so what we have understood over the last couple weeks, that the Word of God is effective. The effectiveness of God's Word, it gives us, through studying God's Word, we know that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instructions in righteousness. We know that from 2 Timothy 3:16. We understand that all Scripture, how much? All Scripture. It's given by who? By God, by the inspiration of God. We also know that the Word of God was written by holy men as the Spirit of God moved on them. And we often say, or I've heard it said so many times, well, the Bible's written by men. When I write my notes right here, right, when I write these down, I use a pen. Now, does the pen write it, or does the fella controlling the pen write it? I can lay this pen anywhere, it won't write anything. But when the Spirit of God gets a hold of this, it moves and it makes letters that we can understand. Again, the Spirit of God moved over. the men of God to print the word of God, that we could have a copy, not a copy, that we can have the living, inspired word of God, that we could grow thereby. Amen. That the church could get smarter, more effective. Amen. The word of God is proven to be effective in every aspect of life. Amen.
Amen.
And anything you do outside of the confines of the instruction written in this word messes up. You get married outside of what this Bible tells you to, it becomes a struggle. Amen. You have sexual relationships outside of what this word says to have, it becomes a struggle. It becomes something so hard. You handle your finances outside of what this Bible says, you have problems in your life. Anything we do outside of the confine of the instruction of God's word makes it harder, right? Now, doing things on the inside of the confines of this word doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. In fact, it's going to tell you, the world is going to tell you that you're wrong, you're crazy. You know, what do you know? You're just an accident, you're a monkey's uncle. Right? Where God says, no, you're made in the likeness and image of God, and I breathed into you and made you a living spirit. Right? I made you a living soul. Not a spirit, a living soul. Something different. And so, we're also told that in Psalm 33, 4 through 10, that the word of God is right, and all of his works are right. Now, let me get to that. I think I wrote that incorrectly in my notes. And I like it when I make mistakes because it makes me go to it. So Psalm 33, say amen when you get there. Amen. I'll be with you in just a moment because I'm not there yet. I did not mark it. I like it. That way we all get to hear this.
There you go.
You know? Amen. Psalm 33, and we'll start reading in 4 and go through 10. Which, anyhow, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth counsel of the heathen to naught. He that maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Amen. And blessed is the nation, right? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. All right. Look at what the scripture says right here. All good counsel comes from who?
God.
Amen. Have you ever heard the saying that God said it, I believe it, that settles it? Y'all heard me say this before. God said it, it settles it, whether you believe it or not. Amen.
Amen.
Take you out of the equation. God said it, that settles it. All right? See, when we say God said it and I believe it, that settles it, that puts you in the driver's seat and God in the passenger seat. God's not the passenger. God is the He's not just the driver. He invented the vehicle. Amen. He spoke it. He spoke it out of nothing and made it. So we got to get things right back in the church. Amen. And it's effective. God's word is effective. That's what we studied the first week. All right. And so the God, as we study God through the King James Bible, we have a great confidence that he will accomplish everything that he said. Amen. Who's going to accomplish it? God is. I don't have to accomplish what God's word has already said is going to happen. He said it, it's going to happen. Again, in Isaiah 55 and 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. All right, who's going to accomplish it? God's going to accomplish it. through his word. If God said it, that settled, it's going to happen. All right, so those are the effectiveness of God's word, what we studied the first week. The next week, after that, we looked into the benefits of God. When you study God's word, you know that it will make you benefited. Benefited? It will make you better, that there is goodness, that there's a, you can prosper. And the only way that you'll prosper in the eternal realms is through the study of God's word. You can prosper in this world, right, and have more money and all that kind of stuff. You can prosper that way. But when you prosper the way that God says it, you can be penniless and still have more than the richest person on the earth. You can have no vehicle and still get around. You don't have to have the internet. All you have to have is God and his word, God and his righteousness, God and his love. It benefits us in all things. Through the studying of God's word and knowing who God is, we gain wisdom, right? We gain knowledge. We gain understanding. We gain righteousness. We gain judgment and equality in every good path. As we said, those are the benefits. Amen? Philippians 4, 7 through 8 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeps your hearts and minds." All right? So as you study God's word, what's he going to grant you there? Peace. Amen? You will not be easily shaken if you know what God's word says. No matter the flu that comes up, no matter the things, that the cancer that you might get, don't worry about none of that kind of stuff. You stand for righteousness in the middle of God's word. No matter what happens to you, you are secured in him. Remember, no angel can pluck you out of his hand. No man can take you out of the way of God. Right, you stay in him and he stays on you. You are absolutely safe and secure, regardless of what might happen to this flesh. I have a promise that goes into the everlasting kingdom of God outside of my understanding. Because by faith I shall receive these things. How do I get faith? By the reading of God's word and understanding it. By the applying of it. Again, Philippians goes on and says, he keeps our hearts and our minds. Finally, my brother, whatso things are true. Where do you find true? Bible. The Bible. There's the only truth. The only truth you will ever find on this planet is the word of God. Everything else is a lie. It might be factual, but it's a lie. You know that you can have a fact and not have the whole truth? Right. Amen. There's a fact that there's a flu in the world called, and we have named it COVID, right? That's a fact. It's out there. But I want you to know the truth that God is greater than the flu. Amen? He is greater. No man will die outside of his appointed time. And no man's going to live one second further than what his appointed time is. So don't worry about the flu, because I can have peace in the midst of the flu. My heart and my mind is set on that. All right? Finally, brother, whatso things are true and honest, whatso things are pure, whatso things, I'm going to just go to the lovely, of a good report, and of the things that are be of virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, right? Think on those things. Whatsoever things that are true and pure and honest and lovely and of a good report and be of any virtue are only found in the word of God. Study those things. Set that to your life. See, when we stop doing that, some things start to happen. And this really is where we're going to talk about today. And there's going to come a time where people won't study God's word anymore. And I'm afraid in the church that's today. We're listening to commentaries. We're listening to famous TV evangelistic kind of preachers. We're reading books, extra gospels. Listen, there is no other gospel than the gospel found in the King James Bible. All right? I just want to keep that straight. Amen? I learned that from my brother Joshua. We don't get this mixed up. We keep that straight. And I know that makes a lot of people upset. Why? Well, I read this version or I read right. I do care what you read, because when it is changed, it is not the same. Amen? And so they pull just, well, it's only one word. Well, you can take one word out of something and change the complete meaning of it. It tells us, God gives us a warning in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. Get there with me.
Amos,
yeah. Just before Obadiah, one book before Jonah. It's right after Joel.
What chapter?
Chapter 8. Say amen when you get there. I know it's an odd book. There ain't many folks that go to this book, but it's a good book to go to. Amen. And so I would like to read you the whole book, but in chapter 8, verse 11, we'll pick up. Amen. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. Now remember, he's not talking about water thirst. There are people that are going to be looking for the word of God, but the word of God hasn't been taught in so long that they can't find it. And they're looking for truth. They're looking for holiness and righteousness, and they're not going to find it. God said, I'm going to send this type of famine into the world, verse 14. And they shall swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth. The manner of Bathsheba liveth. And even they that fall shall never rise up again. So I had to look up to see what these sins were, the sin of Samaria. Again, they were just worshiping idols in Samaria. They were worshiping under the Ashtaroth trees. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping the writings of other men, the extra words outside of the Word of God. That was the same sin of Dan and of the of Bathsheba. All of those things, they were worshiping stuff outside of God's word. And when that started happening, God said, I'm going to send you a famine. You don't want my word. You don't want the real living word of God. You ain't got to have it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start way back when. I'm going to start back in the mid-1800s, and I'm going to start putting out other versions of the Word of God, and I'm going to start fooling people. I'm going to pollute the waters. Why? Because you don't want to love the truth. Because you didn't want it, I allowed you to get what you wanted. You want quail? You want meat? I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to send it to you, and you're going to start eating it, and it's going to make you sick, and thousands of you are going to die. Now, you could have had manna, the food from God, and you would have had everything you ever needed. But you got sick of the living Word of God, and you wanted something of your own. You want meat? All right, I'll send you meat. I'll send it. It's going to come out of your noses. You'll eat it so much. Again, that's God and His Word. You don't want it? You ain't got to have it. So how does a people group get to a famine like this? Well, in Deuteronomy, it tells us some interesting things. And you can flip over there, Deuteronomy chapter 11. And he tells us what to do. But I want to talk about what happens when we don't do it. This here is a warning to those who stray away from studying God's Word. That's what we're talking. I guess I should have told you the title first. Okay, the title of the sermon today, I guess I'll start preaching here in a moment. The warning of not studying. This is the warning because there are benefits of studying. There's an effectiveness of studying. But when you stop studying, there's something that happens also. And we need to know the warnings of not studying the Word of God as much as the wonderful study of God's Word and what the things we can glean out of it. But when we stop doing it, there's something else we're going to glean. You will sow to the wind and you will reap the whirlwind. All right? So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13, 20 through 25. And you know this, where God tells us that we need to teach the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and teach our children the Word of God and how important it is. 11:13. Amen. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass into the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. All right, now listen to what he started out saying in verse 13. Hearken diligently to his commands. Hearken means listen, pay attention to, study, and know what it means. And if you do this, I'm going to send you the rain in the proper time. I will tend to your needs. If you study my word, if you apply my word, if you serve the one true living God, I got you. That's what God is saying. I have you. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that your crops don't fail. I'll make sure that your cattle give birth. I'll make sure of these things, the things you can't control. If you serve me, you follow me, you study my word, I will take care of that. But if you don't expect those things from me. So, and take heed to yourselves, verse 16, that your heart be not deceived and turn away to the and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you and shut up heaven that there be no rain and that the land yield not her fruit lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. When we stop teaching the word of God, all right, when we stop doing what it says from 18 through 24, therefore you shall lay up for the words in your heart. When we stop laying up the words of God in our heart and our soul, when we stop binding them on a, as a sign on our hand, when we stop having the word of God as the frontlet between our eyes, when we stop teaching them to our children and speaking of them to our kids, all right? Now, I'm not adding to the word. I'm letting you see the flip side of that. Okay? When we stop doing the things that God says, there will be a payment to be made. God is not mocked.
Amen.
That whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. If we reap to the Spirit, we will inherit or receive everlasting life. If we reap or seed sow to the flesh, we will reap everlasting condemnation. We're going to lose the blessings of God if we do not get back to the Word of God and stop reading these stupid commentaries and listening to other things. When we stop teaching our children. All right, Lord. I'm sorry if y'all didn't see that. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Let's just look over there real quick. Judges chapter 2. No, I went too far. Judges 2:10. Have we got there yet? Y'all are faster than me. Okay.
Amen.
All right. I guess it's actually in verse 8. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance. And you can say the name of that place if you want to. In the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And all that generation were gathered together unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. And the children of Israel and the children of America did evil in the sight of the Lord and served false gods Balaam. All right, they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were around about them, and they bowed themselves to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against America. It says Israel, but it's America. All right, and he delivered them to the hands of the spoilers, and that spoiled them, and the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Delivered them into the hands of the spoilers. Okay. delivered them. Why did God deliver them into the hands of the spoilers? Now, didn't deliver them into the hands of the ones destruction. Didn't deliver them to the hands of destruction, but through the hands of the spoilers. What does the hand of the spoiler does? What would that do? It would take the goodness that God has given you and take it away from you. He would make the manna that he gives you turn into worms. Right? He would take the goodness that God gave you and he would spoil it in front of your eyes. He would take the things that you should have been teaching to your kids. When they raised up a generation that knew not God. They stopped teaching it to their children. They allowed the government to teach their children. They allowed science to tell the children where they came from. The church, the people of God, stopped teaching the children of God, the righteousness of God, the word of God. And God said, all right, you want to do that? You're going to raise up a generation that doesn't know me, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to follow Fauci instead of Jesus Christ. You're going to follow the government and let them shut you down instead of reaping the benefits of fearing the Lord and walking by faith. You're going to walk by sight and not by the Holy Ghost. And when you do that, God will allow you to reap what you have sown. America, you're reaping what you have sown. We raised a generation. I wish Alan was here because he would say amen and amen to this. His grandchildren went to school and they were the only kid that knew what Noah did. Out of the whole school, they were the only ones who understood even a little bit. This was 20 years ago. 20 years. And now, I will guarantee you, you go into 99% of the government brainwashing institutions called public education, and those kids have no idea. They do believe, I'm sorry, but they do believe that they came from monkeys because we have taught them that they came from monkeys. You want to know why there's so much violence in schools today? Because we taught them that they are an absolute accident from God. That there is no God. You're an accident through a million, billion, gazillion years. Not that you were wonderfully created in the image and likeness of God. Why are there 71 murders in Rochester already this year? Why is that? Because we brought up a generation that did not know God, and the spoilers have been set loose in America. Because we didn't teach our children. We allowed the world to teach our children. We didn't do what was right. So God said, all right, you want that? You don't want to follow me? You ain't got to. But let me tell you what's going to happen. I will, you forget me, you stop studying my word. Warning. That's why these Old Testament scriptures were written this way. That if we didn't do these things, then there's a payment for that. There's a consequence for that. There's a giving back of what you have sown, what you have put in. And America, I ain't going to talk about the rest of the world. Not that I don't care about the rest of the world, but I care about my neighbors. I care about the children. I care about the deception that's going on across America right now. What are we trusting in? Anything except God and His Word. Who was that that said God is dead back in the... he was a communist leader. But anyhow, he made this book and said God is dead. God's not
Nietzsche.
Dead. Yeah, that's it. Nietzsche. Yeah. Anyhow, if we were in men's class, I'd tell you something.
But we're not.
Thank you, sister. I love you.
No,
but we're not.
Thinks God's dead.
Yeah, amen. Nietzsche's dead. God's still alive. Amen. Many men have tried to stop this word of God from going, but it's still going. And praise God, even though all those things I said are true, all those things that are happening, there's still a remnant. God still has a remnant. We need to be that remnant that seek the Word, that seek the Lord in the fullness of what the Word of God says. We need to be a people group that are called apart, not in the world, but not of the world. We need to be a people group that truly loves the Lord God. When a people forget the Lord that saved them from the sin, as America has done, God gives them over to a debased mind. And I know that Romans 1, everybody thinks that this only means homosexuality. That God gives them over to a debased mind to do those things which are unnatural. I'm flipping over there as fast as I can.
What is it, Romans?
Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Amen. Actually, let's get up to 16 before that, because we need to be this people. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Oh, praise God. The just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. All right, grab a hold of this. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Oh, no, I'm not.
But I'm going to give my kids over to the spoilers. All right, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, no, I'm not. Well, I'm going to trust everything except for what the Word of God says. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, no, I'm not. But I'm going to live like there is no God. If you're living like there is no God, then yes, you're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that's going to make you hurt on the inside. Good, I hope it does. I hope it hurts enough that you want to trust God. Because I have news for you. Anything that is not here is not worth it. All right? The gospel is for the salvation for the Jews and the Gentiles. He wants all to come to the knowledge of God. But when we refuse to come to the knowledge of God, those who hold the truth, right? Those who should know better. He's talking to the church. How do you hold the truth? Well, first you know that God, Jesus, is truth. What is it? John 14, 6. I am the
way,
truth, and the life. And? Amen. Amen. All right, so y'all know that. If Jesus is truth, then everything else is a lie.
That's right.
Right? There's only one truth. There's only one baptism. There's only one God, the Father of us all. Only one way. Right? And if we try some other way, Jesus said in John 10, which we looked at last week, he's a thief and a liar. All right? A robber. And he tries to come in some other way. Listen, people, we've got to hold the truth in righteousness. Amen? For the verse 17, I'm going to go back over the end. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Amen. Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. Church, this is you. This is the person who claims they know Jesus Christ. You've studied the Word. You've heard the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to know better. You're holding the Word, the truth of God, and living unrighteously.
You don't believe it.
You don't believe it.
That's it.
Amen. You don't believe it.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not living from faith to faith.
Yep.
You're living from faith to science.
Right. That's right.
Science is a liar.
It's
idolatry. It's pharmakia.
Yep.
Right? I can't get my mind right unless I have... Well, my mother was on Valium. I know there's other stuff today. But my mom, I know she had volumes of Valium. All right? Because I used to steal it from her when I was a kid, right? All right? So I know that she had Valium 5 and Valium 10. Right? 10 was twice as good as 5. Or bad. But
So anyhow, she was leaning into pharmakia when I was 9 and 10. And I'm over 50 now. By the grace of God, he preserved my mother. I could tell you worse things than that. But anyhow, we at the church, those who know the truth but hold it in unrighteousness, because that which being made known of God is manifest in them. See, this is how I know it's for the church. The knowledge of God is manifested only in the church. You can't know the Word of God unless you've been born again by the Word of God. You can't know the difference between light and darkness unless you have light in you. Amen? So, this is for the church, and is manifested in them, for God showed it to them. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay, church, you ain't got no excuse.
Amen.
You ain't got no. The only thing that you can ever tell God on that day of judgment is, God, I didn't really believe you. I didn't really believe what your Bible said. I really didn't believe that. I didn't believe it because I saw your creation, and I didn't believe that either. I thought that it happened from a big bang, a million gazillion years ago, and y'all have heard me say this thousands of times. I'm going to say it thousands of more. It's a lie. The big bang is a lie. There is a big bang, but it's at the end, right? When God melts all of this and he allows the elements to melt with a fervent heat, there's going to be a bang. The heavens are going to be rolled back as a scroll. That's go ahead, brother.
The first bang was when God said, let there be light.
Yeah. Right. And it was 6 days, not millions and gazillions and trillions of years. And he spoke things into existence. When he said, let the herbs bring forth and trees, guess what? Full-grown trees sprouted out of the earth. They bared seed which had life in them. It could not have taken a gazillion million years. My brother.
The mystery of God, you know, at the very end, is probably going to expose that lie.
Amen. And only those who are looking to see it, only those who know it will be able to receive it. That's why we must study this word. Because when we don't study this word, as it goes on, because when they knew God, all right, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When we stop studying and believing God's word, God will let us believe whatever comes around the pipe, down the pipe. I like down the pipe because it reminds me of sewage. We will believe the sewage of this world if we're not in God's word. If we don't believe this more than what we believe outside. God will allow that to happen. He'll let you believe the lie. He'll let you believe that science can save you, that education can save you, that medicine can save you. Listen, it can't. Amen? Right, sister? It can't. I don't care what pill they give you, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Amen? Appointed unto man once to die. That means you've got an appointed date. You're not going to get out of that date. When that date comes, I don't care where you're at, what you're doing, you're going to die. And if you do some stupid thing, like shoot yourself in the head, and it's not your day to die, guess what? You're going to live with a bullet in your brain. Because it's not your day to die.
You will not die until that day happens. And God already knows what method you're going to die. If he says you're going to die of the COVID, guess what? You're going to die of the COVID. Don't fear. Trust God. Right? If he says you're going to die of an automobile accident or get trampled by a horse or a meteorite is going to fall out of the sky and strike you right between the eyes while you're riding your bicycle on your 400-mile ride because you're in such good physical shape. Right? I jog 45 miles a day because I'm super guy. When you die, guess what? You're going to die on that day. I'm in the middle of your 45-mile run in perfect health. When that time comes, you might as well crawl into a ditch. It's over. And then comes the judgment, right? So stop worrying about all this kind of stuff, right? And I said I'm going to read to 32. All right. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into images made like a corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is why God gave... You want to know where homosexuality comes from? It's right here. All sexual sin comes right... We quit serving God. This whole...
Absolutely.
Gender confusion. All right? It is a demonic force because we did not teach our children that God created male and female. And you are created that way, and you will die that way. I don't care what the doctors do to you. I don't care how much plastic they put in you. I don't care what they cut off and what they stick in you. When you die, you're either male or female, the same as when you were born. Mm-hmm. Get that straight. Because the world will tell you that there can be, what is there, like 300 different genders now? Right? It's stupid. No, there's male and there's female, period. But science will tell you, because we worship the creature more than the Creator. So we say that there can be all these different things. Or that we can change what God made us to make it better. Men and ladies, don't get plastic surgery. What God gave you, that's good. If it's big, if it's small, if it's right. Now, if you have your arm shot or burned or something like that, and you need a skin graft, praise God, get a skin graft. God gave us that ability. But don't change what God gave you. Be happy with it. Because none of that really matters. Not to God, anyhow. But science will tell you that we can improve it. The $6 million man, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. No, you can't. That was a TV show. Any of y'all not old enough to remember that show? The guy could run 60 miles an hour. I think he had bionic hairspray. 60 miles an hour in his hair. Never got out of it. It was crazy. Anyhow, for this cause, because they didn't worship God, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use. The natural use of a woman, they changed it unto the things that are against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned with lust one after another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the payment, the recompense of their of the error which is meat, which is the payment for not trusting God. It's the payment. Recompense. It's the payment. It's, you wanted to do that? Well, you got it. God didn't stop you from worshiping the creature more than the Creator. You wanted to worship the creature instead of the Creator. God said, fine, be a homo. And I know that that's not politically correct. I am not politically correct. This is hate speech over 90% of the world, and it's hate speech here in New York. I love you. Let me tell you the truth. You're not born homosexual. You were taught that you weren't made in the likeness and the image of God, and God gave you over to a debased mind doing those things which are unnatural, unfruitful. You got something, brother?
God says, you choose.
Amen. You choose. You choose. Right. You choose. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them over because they quit worshiping God. He gave them over to the spoilers. You know what homosexuality is? It's spoilage of the perfect thing. Sex outside of the confines of what the Bible says it is. One man, one woman for life. When you do it outside of this, it perverts everything. Why do we kill babies? Because we have sex outside of marriage and people get pregnant. Not people, women get pregnant. Alright? And they didn't want the baby. Hey, my body, my choice. Amen. It's your body, so don't trash it with sex until you're married. And then you plan to have children. Right? Sex is a beautiful, a wonderful thing. God created it. One man, one woman. Anything outside of that is an abomination before God. And when we start leaving the study of God's word and believing what God says, then anything goes. You can marry your goat. You know, my grandchildren didn't believe it, that people actually marry their pets. You shouldn't lie with your pet as a man does with a woman. But it happens. You think that's sick? You ain't seen nothing yet. The perversion of a man, once we leave what God created it and we started worshiping everything else, anything goes. But if you take anything the way it goes, it's going to lead you to hell. It's going to lead you to damnation. It's going to lead you to unrighteousness. Why? Because we didn't believe the word of God and hold on to it as something that's meaningful. Even as they did not retain, they didn't even want to retain the knowledge of God. Because God tells me what's right and what's wrong. I don't want to do that. It's against my flesh. They didn't like to retain the knowledge of God in their knowledge, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Once you leave the confines of the word of God, all unrighteousness is unleashed in the imagination of a man, of a human. Right? It's not just men. Our children today, it's unleashed in our children today, the unrighteousness. Where do 4 and 5 year olds get the idea that they're not what God created them? Go ahead.
There's a good point that you're bringing up that it spreads, you know, and it confuses the children. It's like you have, a man-man relationship, and then they adopt a kid.
Yeah.
That kid is going to be so screwed up in his values on what he thinks normal is. Same thing. Two women adopt a kid, and they think it's great, and it really is perpetuating confusion.
Absolutely. Well, it's not confusion, sin.
Yeah.
Wickedness is what the word calls it. Unrighteousness. We begin filling ourselves with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. We become full of envy and murder and debate and deceit. Malignant worshipers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unpeaceable, unmerciful, have no mercy. Knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Could be said damnation. Death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That is key. Right. You don't have to do those. All you got to do is agree with it.
That's right. Yeah.
If you agree that a man can be a girl and a girl can be a man, and a man can sleep with a man or a dog or a goat or whatever they want to be, you can be what you want to be, you deserve church. You deserve the same death they're going to receive. I know you don't hear that from pulpits very often. Shame on the pulpits. Shame on the preachers. Why is America so twisted right now? Because we don't have any men behind the pulpit with the testosterone enough to say the truth. To say that God's word is right, regardless of what the world thinks. Hosea, and this is really what brought all of this. Are y'all okay for a few more minutes? Okay. Hosea chapter 4. I'm going to read the whole chapter all the way to chapter 5. No. Amen? I'm going to try not to say much in between it, because I think God's word will really speak for itself here. Y'all there? Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. I said I ain't going to say something, but I got to, right? Hear the word of the Lord, O children of America. All right? For the Lord has a controversy. The holy, righteous God is saying, hey, I got a problem with you. I got a problem with you. I want to help you out of this. A controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Okay. All right, people, listen to what the Word of God says. I got a problem with you because there's no truth in America. There's no mercy in America. There's no knowledge of God in the whole land. I got a problem with you, church. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and the blood touches blood. All right? The blood touches blood. The vaccine is made from aborted children. It's not a vaccine to start with. It's made from aborted children, and we're sticking that in our veins. The blood is touching the blood, and God says that this is an abomination. There shall, in verse 3, therefore shall the land mourn. Everyone dwelleth therein shall languish. With the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for the people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in that day, in the day, and the prophet shall also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also forget thy children. Do you think God's joking here? Do you think this is a tongue-in-cheek thing that he's saying that's going to happen? This is what happens when we get away from God's word. This is the payment of not teaching our children. This is the payment of raising up a generation that does not know God. This is the spoiler that God is releasing on not just on America, but the whole world. We're reaping what we have sown. I don't see a way out of it. Except individually and personally. Yeah. The nations will not be saved, but the individual in the nation that fears the Lord shall be saved. Those who live by faith, from faith to faith. Those who walk in the knowledge of the Most High God. Those who fear the wrath of God and honor the righteousness of God. Who flee unrighteousness and cling to the knowledge and the understanding of God. Those people will be saved. Everybody else, God's going to unleash this thing. There's so much to be said here. It's 12:30. I don't care. All right? My wife might care. She's been with the kids. I don't know how long their Bible lesson's going to last. I can pick this up next week.
Read it out, Curtis.
Okay.
Read it out.
Just read it out.
First night.
Thank you.
Let's get done with this.
Amen.
It's only a couple minutes if you read it.
Amen. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough, and they shall commit whoredoms and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks. They're asking the animals to help them. And their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice on the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under the oaks and the pillars and the elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore their daughters shall commit whoredoms, and their spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredoms, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separate with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doeth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not to Gilgal, neither go up from Behaven, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour, and they have committed whoredom continually. Their rulers with the same due love give ye. The wind hath bound up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Hear this, O ye priests, and hearken, ye house of Israel, and give an ear, O house of king, for judgment is toward you, because ye have been a snare on Mizpah, and a net spread to Tabor. And the revolters are profound to make slaughter, though I have been a rebuker of them all. I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. For, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredoms, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn to their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. The pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity, and Judah shall also fall in them. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children, whom shall a mouth devour in their portions. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud in Beth Haven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I have made known that they shall surely be, and the princes of Judah like them that remove the bond. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. And he goes on. Mm-hmm. Why? because they didn't study God's word. They studied commentaries, and they followed science, and they followed the CNN, and they looked to other things. When they started worshiping other gods, God calls them adulterers, seeking after whoredoms. Church, repent. First, understand where we're at in America in this day and time. Thank you, Lord, for this. If my people, amen, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, if we would repent, if we would turn from our wicked ways, then God promises to hear from heaven and to heal this land. But until the church gets right with God, don't expect God to heal the land. Judgment must begin in the house of God. If we're going to have these pillars, and I have decided not to show any of this week, if we don't start getting right with this, if we don't get right in our salvation, in our prayer, in our study, if we don't get right with these things, if these don't become pillars in our lives, the world is over. There's only one way out of this. Well, there's two ways out of this. The judgment of God or the forgiveness of God. We will not give the forgiveness until we confess it, repent, and turn from it. 1 John 1:9. Amen? Absolutely. There's a lot in the Bible to keep talking about the study. We could do this for a year. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Let us not forsake the assembly next week, fellowship. People, I love you. I know that this was probably very uncomfortable. I don't care. I don't care if this made you squirm. I don't care whoever hears this on the internet around the world who thinks that living in their lifestyle is right. If it's against this word, the King James Bible, if it's against this word, it's against God. Mm-hmm. And if you're against God, God will deal with you. Yeah. It's a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. And let me tell you, God is angry. Now, he's full of love, he's full of forgiveness, but he doesn't wink at sin. Especially in the church. The world's the world. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. But you're the church. Clean up. Get right. Get real with God. Remember what it said in Romans? Not only those who do such things, but those who agree with it. Do you agree with it? Read your Bible. Amen. Read your Bible. Folks, I love you. I really do love you. And I want you not to miss any of the blessings of God. We don't have much time left, and we sure don't have time to beat around the bush. We got to go right through this thing. We got to cast off every weight that would stop us or slow us down from achieving what God wants us to have. I came by this by the word of God. Amen. This is not my imagination. This is not my thoughts. If I were God, I would do it a different way. Praise God. I'm not God. All right? I'm just a sheepdog. My job is to nip at your heels until you get going the right way. Until you do, don't expect the message to change. Because the Good Shepherd made men to stand and boldly proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Out there in radio land, if you have a woman preacher, get out of that church. Mm-hmm. If you're preaching from the NSV or
ASB or New King James or the NIV, get out of that church. Mm-hmm. Or at least bring the King James Bible to your pastor and make him read it. I got a lot to say. I don't have a lot of time. Man, I love you. I do love you guys. I got to shut up and pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your word. Oh, I thank you, Father God, that it is the cornerstone. It is the righteous way. There is no other foundation than Christ Jesus. Father, help us to get back to that foundation. Lord, let's tear down whatever whoredoms are in our life, whatever idols we have. Father, let us get into your word and study your righteousness, your holiness. Father, and make me die. Make us die to ourselves that you would be glorified. Lord, I thank you. I praise you for that. I ask that you would move mighty in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.